ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. We have been studying the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is called Vibhuti Yoga. Every chapter in the Gita is named as Yoga. Yoga means that which unites us with God, with our true nature. Vibhuti means special manifestations of God. As we had discussed in the past two classes, the whole universe is nothing but a manifestation of God. If you take it from the viewpoint of creation, the cause and the effect will be there. The effect is nothing but the cause. If you take it even from the standpoint of Advaita Vedanta, the rope only is appearing as a snake. Snake means here, do not get the idea of something frightening, something very poisonous. It is merely to give the idea that one thing is mistaken for the other thing. What is the original thing? God, Brahman. What is it? The mistake that we commit? We see God as the world. We see the one God as multifold objects in this world. All the objects in this world. Remember, I am an object to you, you are an object to me. There are no such divisions are there. So the whole universe is nothing but nama and rupa, names and forms. So the whole universe is nothing but the manifestation of one supreme reality. Call him God, call him Brahman, call him, in Sri Ramakrishna's words, Divine Mother, etc. Now the most marvelous fact here is that nothing happens to the Brahman. I'll give a small example which Shankaracharya takes lot of pains to point out to us. What is the manifestation? That is, we are mistaking Brahman. We are looking at Brahman through the prism of what we call time, space and causation. And that's what makes the one as many and the unborn as born, the unchanging as changing. If you remove the prism, what remains? Even the reflection. If you remove the mirror, your reflection also disappears along with the disappearance of the mirror. Who remains? Only you remain. Supposing you are looking at the mirror and you see your own reflection and then you go on painting that reflection. Does it affect you? It never affects you. And you go on gesturing and then saying, I am going to beat this fellow who is appearing like this. Like they say, dogs, when they see their reflections, think they are stranger dogs. Of course, a dog may not know, we don't know, may not know that it is its own reflection. That is a great secret that scientists are discovering now. Some animals can recognize their reflections as not reality, but their own reflections, especially those animals which are endowed with higher intelligence like chimpanzees, etc. But this is our human assumption. We don't know. Even an ant may know what is a shadow and what is a reflection. We are all attributing our understanding to these animals. My belief is every animal knows to a small extent what it is not, even when it sees either a shadow or a reflection. Coming back to our subject, that when whatever you do to this reflection is not at all affecting, not even one billionth part is being affected in the original being which stands in front of the mirror, Bimba and Pratibimba. So Shankaracharya gives two examples. One example is, you are watching a movie and all the figures are projected onto the screen, and the screen is burning or it is having floods, nothing happens to the screen. Similarly, supposing a person sees a mirage and this beautiful cool waters, and then at some point the man recognizes that it's a mirage and he goes and eagerly looks. Does the sand become wetted even a least bit? Absolutely no. What is the point we are laboring? Even while we are experiencing this whole world and somehow understanding that it is not God, it is something separate from God, even then nothing happens to Brahman as the water in the mirage. Appearance of water lake in the mirage never wets the sand. The appearance of a fire, a flagration, a forest fire on the screen never affects the screen. Exactly in the same way, Brahman is never affected. Not only that, supposing you go on doing something to a reflection, at least is the reflection affected? It is only a seeming action, but it neither affects reflected nor affects that which is being reflected. Neither we are affected nor Brahman is affected. No one is really affected, and that is the grandest of all truths that we have to understand. Of course, this idea had to be drilled into us again and again. So what is the proof, sir, that the whole world is a manifestation, that it is not real? So we give the example of a dream. You have nice food, dinner, supper, and go to bed, and you have a wonderful dream or a nightmarish dream. And you imagine is a terrible rain. It is raining cat, what they call cats and dogs. And you are trying to run away and then come to into your home, and you enter into your home and jump into the bed and you wake up, and does the bed gets wet? Maybe a little. Why am I saying that? Because this dream might have created terrible sweat in you, and that sweat might have wetted, but not the rain in your dream. So also you may think that my house caught fire and it is burning, my bed also is burning, my clothes also caught fire, I am also burning. But when you wake up all of a sudden with a start, what do you see? Absolutely nothing happened to your bed. Of course, your clothes would not get burnt, because most probably you have the minimum amount of clothes, or you may be in your birthday dress also, we don't know. Anyway, the point is, nothing really happens to Brahman. And here is the final crunch. If you really think something happens to Brahman because of the manifestation, then Brahman will not be Brahman, God will not be God, God will be no better than whatever this object is in this world. So, an imagined body, an imagined birth, an imagined event never affects reality. But if we know the truth, this whatever we are experiencing, including what I call myself, my body and mind, is also nothing but manifestation of God, then life becomes a leela. That is the third stage, third definition of life, according to Swami Vivekananda. Life is a school where we learn our lessons. Life is a gymnasium where we practice spiritual disciplines, we strengthen our physical, intellectual, moral, aesthetic, and spiritual muscles. And life is a circus. Circus means a most funny things happen, feats of strength are exhibited, unbelievable. And really speaking, you have to see one circus, then only you will understand what Bhagavad Gita is trying to tell you. Really speaking, these persons, so courageous, they are there 20, 30 feet above us in the tent, and there is a rope, and not only the fellow is walking, he can fall also, or sometimes there is a cycle, and that cycle, he is cycling, somebody comes and jumps on the shoulders of that fellow, another fellow jumps over that, and this feat also you can see, it is practically, they are the greatest yogis, we have to say. How many times they must have practiced, how many times they must have fallen before they could become so fearless and achieve that tremendous balance. Not only that, we have to understand a very important fact. 1 second's carelessness there can cause even death. So many people, while performing these feats, they have fallen dead. Some other incidents in the circus, they will also show many tigers or many lions, and one fellow with a small stick, he is commanding them. They jump onto stools, they jump through the loop, so many things. And it so happened tragically, some of these so-called trainers were also eaten up. So it also happens in real zoos. But what is my point? My point is, how much these people must have willpower, must have been risking, must be conscious that 1 second of carelessness can bring about complete death, immobility, paralysis, and my life can be ruined. And yet they have chosen and they enjoy this one. But that is what we call the circus in our world. Swami Vivekananda, concept of circus is, it is all enjoyable, no risk is there, no question of anybody suffering, etc. Because it is an appearance of reality, it is not reality at all. There would be no effect at all. This idea we have to get into our mind. So this is called sadhana. So how do we proceed about it? The whole this 10th chapter is, O Arjuna, I am going to point out some special manifestations. You first try to see me in every one of these manifestations. Afterwards, you should not stop. Afterwards, you extend the same thing until everything that we experience, the whole earth, the whole mountains, the whole rivers, everything living, non-living, is none other than pure Brahman, Parabrahman, but with names and forms. The division, living and non-living, and these animals, insects, plants, birds, and human beings, all these are all concepts of the mind. Spirituality is to move from a lower state of perception to the highest state of perception, where there is only one reality, in which everything is only an appearance. Even that idea, it is an appearance, is also to be transcended in the final run. With this background, we are entering Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Lord himself. Previously, that Arjuna was asking questions. Now, Arjuna has not asked in this chapter, but the Lord himself is telling. Why is he telling? He makes it clear. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Lord said, what is he telling? Bhuya eva mahabaho shunume paramam vachaha yatteham priyamanaya vakshyami hitakamyaya. The Lord said, once more, O mighty Arjuna, listen to my supreme words, which I, from a desire for your welfare, will impart to you, to your great delight. So what is the Lord telling? That bhuya eva. Again, what does it mean? If I say, I am repeating. If I say, again I am telling. What does that mean? That means in the past, at least once I must have said that. But usually it is many, many times. From the beginning of the Gita teaching, the Lord is telling again and again, like a most loving mother looks after the baby and tells to her child what is only beneficial, what does good to the child. Even sometimes mother has to beat the baby, mother has to scold the baby, whatever she does it, the baby knows this is for my own good, mother is doing. And it clings only to the mother. So he says, hitakamyaya, for your welfare. This also indicates that whatever God does, whatever scriptures do, whatever a guru does, is for our own benefit, not for anything else. Yat te aham te priyamanaya vakshami. I am going to tell you, not only I told you, but I am going to repeat the same thing to you again and again until you also attain me and you know you are me and then you are free until that time, until the last created creature remains in this world, the Lord is going to incarnate and impart this tremendous truth to all of us. This is being said here for us, so let us go with that. He Mahabaho, O great hero, Bhuyaha eva, again and again. Me paramam vachaha shunu, shunu, listen, listen to what? Mama paramam vachaha. This great advice, teaching I am going to give you. Great teaching means that teaching which conduces to my highest welfare. That alone is called the greatest truth. And then what is he telling here? Shrunume paramam vachaha yatteham, I am telling you. For what? Hitakamyaya, for your good. And what is that? Priyamanaya, you delight in my words because you love me. This is a psychological truth. We love to hear the subject that we love. We love to hear from a person whom we admire, whom we love. And the more we come into contact with such a person, the more we are going to enjoy that one. So the Lord says that you are enjoying what I am telling you. That's why I feel like enjoying. You know, when a singer is singing and there is very good appreciative audience, even at least one person, that encourages the singer, that encourages the speaker. Otherwise, if everybody sits with a castroil face, it's very difficult for the singer or speaker to get enthused. So here also the Lord is telling you, Arjuna, delight. Why do you delight? Because you know two things. That I love you, whatever I tell you is for your good. Not only that, every ordinary mother tells what is good for the child. But at the same time, what the mother says may not be very good. Nowadays, most parents, that's what they tell. You ask them, why don't you send them to Ramakrishna Mission? Oh, they teach prayers, they teach moral classes, they take moral classes, they inject forcibly so many religious ideas, and they are terribly strict. But you know, some parents like the strictness because they are looking at the future shape of their children. Even though you suffer now, but you will enjoy it later on. I have come across people, those who have studied in some of our institutions, where the rules and regulations, you get up at this time and you study, you go through extra tuitions, you can go to bed only after 10, and not many movies are shown, and all these things, as though we are restricting them, putting them in a prison. So they go on grumbling, they go on criticizing us at our back, but they get the result. When they get the results, they are overcome with tremendous happiness. Not only that, they remain grateful, some of them. And then when they get a good job, they get married, and then they have children. And the first thing is, they will bring their children. Swamiji, I want my child to be brought up in your institution. Hey, you fellow, you went on murmuring, scolding and abusing, making faces at the Swami who is looking after you, then you brought your, oh Swami, we did not realize at that time what a good it had done to us. And we wish the welfare of our children and we want them to get the same benefit as we did. So here, the Divine Lord, He knows we are none other than His own manifestations, but from a devotee's point of view, we are the children of the Divine Lord. That's why he's telling, Yet teham priyamanaya vakshyami. And what am I going to tell you? Paramam vachaha. The supreme word, supreme truth. What comes out from truth of God is nothing but truth. What comes out from God, nothing but that which conduces to our greatest welfare, which is to get moksha or liberation, which is to free us from all feelings of insecurity, the revealing the supreme truth. So now he is going to tell what he is going to tell. What is he telling first of all? And then the doubt may come here. Arjuna means all of us, or every sincere spiritual aspirant. The doubt may come that why should I believe what you are going to tell me? Maybe you love me. That is perhaps true. But what you tell me is, can I not get it from some other people? Maybe some scriptures. Of course, the scriptures are nothing but the words of God only. But can I not get from some other people? You can get, but they are second-hand information, not first-hand information. Why? That is what is being pointed out here in this verse. The manifestations of the Lord are a divine mystery. Therefore, Bhagavan Krishna, out of compassion for Arjuna, intends to describe them. What is he telling? Name viduh suraganaha prabhavam na maharshayaha aham adirhi devanam maharshi nancha sarvasaha. A beautiful word is telling, neither the hosts of gods nor the great sages know my origin. For in all respects, I am the source of the gods and the sages. In other words, what is the Lord telling? I am the creator. I am the original cause. Everything in this world, the whole world, is my creation. That is to say, the effect can never really understand the cause. So the world can never understand the divine Lord, even including whom we call gods, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, etc. They are none other than created beings. In Puranic language, that's why you say Vishnu is there and he has a navel, and in his navel there is Brahma, and Vishnu called created Brahma, and then he said, now I am giving over this job, you continue this creation, and we are the creation of Brahma. Brahma created, and not only Lord Narayana, who created Brahma, also created Vishnu, also created Shiva. That means when there is creation, there would be sustenance and there will be dissolution. So we give three different names as if they are three separate gods, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara. But actually, they are all equivalent to our Ishwara. Ishwara creates Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha creates Virat. Or Ishwara becomes Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha becomes Virat. Or Ishwara grossifies himself a little, that is called Hiranyagarbha. And Hiranyagarbha, the Sukshma Sharira, Samashti Sukshma Sharira, when Hiranyagarbha becomes even more grossified, this is what we call the gross external world. So, Ishwara is called Saguna Brahma. In Sri Ramakrishna's language, Tantric language, it is called my Divine Mother. This is being said here very beautifully. What is he telling? Suraganaha maharshayacha me prabhava naviduhu aham hi devanam maharshinam cha sarvasaha adihi. Adi means I am the origin. I am the cause. I am the cause from which all have come. All these, whatever comes from a cause, are called effects. Who are the effects? Devanam, all the gods. Maharshinam, all the great maharshis. So, suraganaha, maharshayacha, me prabhavam, my creatures. What can a creature? Because creature is a limited being. A limited being can never ever even understand what is the cause. Let me give an analogy. A student can never understand the knowledge of the teacher. Maybe later on, he will acquire all that knowledge. He himself may become the teacher. That's not the point. Every student is immature person. His knowledge is immature. His understanding is incomplete, not mature at all. This student, when he approaches a teacher, the very idea that, sir, you know better than me, so you please teach me. Similarly, another analogy you take, they give it in the forum of the writers. Every writer is much, much more greater than the book he writes, because the book is only a very limited expression of the knowledge of the writer. But another analogy I will give you. Just now a baby is born, and the baby is looked after by whom? By the mother, by the father. Here we take the example of the mother. And what does the baby understand about the mother? That how she became pregnant and how she has given birth to him. and what are all the troubles she had gone, and now she is going even more troubles to protect, to look after, to nourish and do everything for the welfare, continuation of the baby. Do you think the baby has any iota of intelligence to understand all those things? Of course, that is not going to be possible at all. This fact is being narrated here so beautifully, so wonderfully here. What is the Lord telling here? Everything, what you call this entire cosmos, this entire universe, not only the external universe, the internal also, the entire personality of this world, our bodies, our minds, our sukshma, as well as karana shari, these are all effects born of pancha bhutas, pancha sukshma bhutas, pancha bhautika mahabhutas. And all these came from God, and we are like babies. How can a finite thing ever understand the infinite? It can never understand. When can it understand? Is it possible? Not as a finite thing. When a drop of water is asked about the glory of the ocean, it can never understand. But it can understand once it becomes one with the ocean, and then say, oh, now I know what I am. Similarly, no creature can understand the Creator. Therefore, if you ask a creature, you describe the glories of the Creator. It's impossible. It is not possible. Yesterday I referred, even Mother Saraswati writes forever on this whole paper called the earth with all the waters of the ocean as ink. Even then she can never exhaust, because the finite can never exhaust the infinite. No human mind can ever think. That is why yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. Namo namo prabhu vakya mana atita. Every day we are singing, and in that context we have to understand those words with the shloka. Name viduhu suraganaha. The devata suragana suras can never know me, much less understand me, much less express it. Neither maharshayaha, great sages, they can also understand. They are still sadhakas. But when they become one with me, they understand it. But even when they understand, they cannot express. That's why mana vachana ek adhar. Prabhava means the glory of the Divine Lord. Why? He has given the reason. Aham, he, because aham maharshinam devanam sarvashaha adihi. I am the beginning. That means I am the cause of this entire universe. It is not possible. So supposing somebody understands, even a small part of the, a small bit of the glory of the Divine Lord, then what is the knowledge that comes to him? The first knowledge that comes is, I belong to God. The second knowledge, improved knowledge that comes to him is, I am part of God. And the higher knowledge is, I am God. This was the fact that Ramakrishna was trying to drill within each one of us through that famous quotation from Hanuman, Deha Buddhyatu Dasosmi. When I think I am the body, I am separate, you are separate. I am small, you are great. I am the servant and you are the master. Jiva Buddhya Tvadamshaka. When I think I am a spark of the consciousness, I am a part, you are the whole. But by your grace, when I understand, it is I am the Atman, means Brahman, then there is no difference between me and you. Atma buddhya tvameva aham. When I know I am the Atman, I am you are me. There is absolutely no difference at all. So this is being expressed here. But he who understands a little bit of me, my glory, immediately, what is the first thing? I belong to you. I do not belong to anything else. Second, by God's grace, I am part of you. There is no difference between you and me, but I am a small bit of you. But when the understanding matures, absolutely there is no difference between you and me. This is the result of true knowledge. But all the three states are divine states. All the three states are a progress in spiritual life. So the Lord says, யோ மாம் அஜம் அநாதிஞ்ச வேத்தி லோக மகேஸ்வரம் அசம்மூட சமர்த்தியேஷு சர்வ பாபைஹி பிரமுச்சதே. வாட் இஸ் தி சேயிங்? ஹீ ஹூ நோஸ் தட் ஐ பகவான் கிருஷ்ணா எம் அன்பார்ன் அண்ட் விதவுட் ஏ பிகினிங் அண்ட் ஆல்சோ தட் ஐ எம் தி சுப்ரீம் லார்ட் ஆஃப் தி வேர்ல்ட்ஸ். சச்சே சாதகா, சச்சே பர்சன், ஹி பிகம்ஸ் அன்டெல்யூடெட் அமாங் ஆல் மோர்டல்ஸ், அமாங் தி டெல்யூடெட் பீயிங்ஸ், அண்ட் தி ரிசல்ட் இஸ் ஹீ இஸ் ஃப்ரீட் ஃப்ரம் ஆல் சின்ஸ். இயர் சின் மீன்ஸ் இக்னோரன்ஸ், சின் மீன்ஸ் பாண்டேஜ், பிகாஸ் வாட் எவர் ராங் திங்ஸ், ஈவில் திங்ஸ் வி டூ கம்ஸ் ஓன்லி ஃப்ரம் மிஸ்அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங், அண்ட் ஒன்ஸ் வி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் வி பிலாங் டு காட், ஃபார் சச் எ பர்சன் இட் இஸ் இம்பாசிபிள் டு டூ எனிதிங். ஸோ வாட் இஸ் தி லார்ட் டெல்லிங்? ஹீ ஹூ நோஸ் தட் ஐ ஆம் அன்பார்ன், தி லார்ட் இஸ் அன்பார்ன். ஹே கிருஷ்ணா, ஐ சி யூ ஹியர் அண்ட் யூ ஆர் ஆல்சோ பார்ன் டு தேவகி அண்ட் வசுதேவா, பிராட் அப் பை யசோதா அண்ட் நந்தா. ஹவு டு யூ கிளைம் தட் யூ ஆர் அன்பார்ன்? ஆ, தி பாடி இஸ் பார்ன், பட் மீ தி செல்ஃப் ஐ நோ ஆஸ் செல்ஃப் ஐ எம் அன்பார்ன், ஐ எம் இட்டர்னல், அஜம் அவ்யயம். So, I am unborn. And because I am unborn, I have no beginning. Beginning means always being born. Beginning means an effect is born. Where there is an effect, there must be a cause. I am beyond cause and effect because I am born. I am unborn. I was never born. And so, I am the Supreme Lord of the worlds because everything has been so, as if created by me, as I said, it is not, nothing is created by me. I only manifest as myself, just as a waker manifests himself at the entire dream world. So also, I manifest in this world. Ignorant people think I created them. That's a good idea. At least they know there is a dog or a wolf or a rock did not create them, but it is the Divine Lord Bhagavan himself created. So I am a child of immortal bliss. Shunvantu Vishve Amrutasya Putraha, children of immortal bliss. So, if a person is sincere, believes in the scriptures and practices what is said there, they obtain this knowledge just as I am unborn, my children are also unborn and the sadhaka is also unborn. So far the fellow is thinking, I am born, I am suffering, sometimes I am happy, now I have to work out to get mukti. All those ideas will disappear. He is exactly the same piece of light that I am the sun, and the sun and sunlight, there is absolutely no difference between them. Such a knowledge makes them completely free. They become liberated and they become completely free from all constraints, all bondages. Bondage means only dukkha. That is all, nothing else. And he will remain forever immersed in divine bliss. This is being said here. Yaha, whichever sadhaka, mam, that I am not Krishna here. I am the Divine Lord through the instrument called Krishna's body and Krishna's mind. Ajam, unborn. Anadim, beginningless. Loka Maheshwaram, I am the cause of this entire world because the cause rules the effect. I am the ruler. ஈஸ்வரஹ சர்வபூதானாம் ரித்தேஷே அர்ஜுன திஷ்டதி. தென் ஈசாவாஸ்யமெதகும் சர்வம். ஹீ ஹூ நோஸ் சச் எ பர்சன் இ பிகம்ஸ் லிபரேட்டட் மர்த்தியேஷு அமங் அதர் இக்னோரண்ட் பீப்புள் மோர்டல்ஸ் அசம்மூட ஹிஸ் மூடத்வா ஹிஸ் டெல்யூஷன் ஹிஸ் இக்னோரன்ஸ் இஸ் கம்ப்ளீட்லி டிஸ்ட்ராய்ட். வாட் ஹேப்பன்ஸ்? சர்வ பாபை பிரமுச்சியதே. சச் எ பர்சன் பிரமுச்சியதே, முச்சியதே, பிகம்ஸ் ஃப்ரீட், obtains mukti, moksha, from what? Sarva, all, papaihi. Papa here means not only sinful actions, even the results of meritorious actions. That means he is freed from the notion, I am the body and I am the mind. And that is called mukti. What is mukti? To be completely free from what we call this idea, I am the body and I am the mind. Continuing in the fourth shloka, here there is something very wonderful. Almost about 20, I think, these feelings, that everything, all the feelings, all the thoughts, all the notions, all the ideas that ever arise in the mind of every human being, all those ideas are nothing but me. How come? Because I have become the body. Just like that, just as I have become the bodies of every creature, I only have become the minds of all creatures. As five gross elements, I am manifesting in the form of this entire world. Similarly, in the form of all the five subtle elements, I only have manifested as the five subtle elements. And the minds of everybody, that means the subtle body and the causal body of everybody, is only my manifestation. Also here there is some beautiful understanding. We can look at ourselves as in one particular individual or as a collective individual. So when body is looked upon as a gross individual body, it is called Vishwa. And it is looked upon as collectively all the bodies, that is called Virat, universal. So also apply this to the subtle body. Subtle body we are called Taijasa, but the collectivity of all these subtle bodies is called Hiranyagarbha. Similarly, when we are in the Sushupti state, we are called Pragna individually, we are called Ishvara collectively. So this collective Ishvara, collective idea, all the both subtle and causal bodies is called Ishvara. So this Ishvara is none other than my own manifestation. Therefore, whatever ideas, good or evil, arise in the minds of any person, they are all coming only from me, or even to put it better way, I am manifesting as a good idea, as a bad idea, as a righteous or wrong idea, as right knowledge, as wrong knowledge, or as a good thought, evil thought, everything is nothing but me manifesting as those ideas. If you understand not only the physical aspect, but the mental aspect, both the subtle body as well as the causal body is nothing but the manifestation of God, then circle is complete. Physically, everything is God. Mentally, everything is God. And the, what is not God? There is nothing which is not God. That is the idea here. But here, one important point before we go further. If anybody can really understand that all ideas are stemming from me, from God Himself, I have nothing to do with it, such a person neither requires punya nor requires papa. Because if he does anything good, says, "Oh Lord, you gave me the good buddhi, you made me do good deeds, and therefore I have nothing to take credit for. The credit goes to you. Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantrarudhani mayaya." So in this fourth and fifth shlokas, about 20 ideas are given. What is the essence of these four and five shlokas? That the whole, what is called subtle and as well as the causal bodies, all the ideas that arise, because mind means only ideas. So all these ideas are my manifestation, me manifesting as knowledge, as ignorance, as good, as evil, as virtue, as vice, etc. That means we do not exist physically, we do not exist mentally. Whatever exists is nothing but the Divine Lord. In fact, there is nothing called I or you or we or everything. Everything is Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. This beautiful idea is being brought out here in this fourth as well as the fifth verses we will now get into. Buddhi Jnanam Asammoha Kshama Satyam Damaha Shamaha Sukham Dukham Bhavaha Abhavaha Bhayam Cha Abhayamevacha Ahimsa Samata Tushtihi Tapaha Danam Yashaha Ayashaha Bhavanti Bhava Bhutanam Matta Eva Prithak Vidhaha. What a beautiful expression here. What is telling? What is called intelligence, knowledge, non-delusion, forbearance, truth, self-control, calmness, pleasure and pain, birth and death, fear and fearlessness, non-injury, equanimity, contentment, austerity, charity, fame, and obloquy. All these different attributes of beings arise from me alone. So let us very briefly deal with intelligence. And we know different creatures have got different intelligence. A virus has very little intelligence. The highest saint, greatest saint, has the perfect intelligence that everything is God. Then knowledge, information. Here, intelligence means wisdom. Knowledge means information. All knowledge comes from God. That's why in the beginning of the Karma Yoga, Swami Vivekananda states a most wonderful statement. He says, the goal of life is knowledge, but not sense pleasure. Then he goes on saying, all knowledge is within and the life is meant to bring out this knowledge. What is that knowledge? Everything is God. That is the ultimate intelligence, wisdom. That is the ultimate knowledge. And so much of difference we see because of the difference in the manifestation of God in the form of intelligence and knowledge, etc. All these ideas is what makes the difference between one being and the other being, whether they are non-humans or humans. So these are different manifestations, lowest manifestation and highest manifestation. The goal is lowest manifestation must be made to gradually grow and ultimately it become the highest manifestation, which is to know Aham Brahmasmi. With this understanding, we all know the meanings. Non-delusion means to know a thing aright, not to misunderstand, not to misinterpret. That is called non-delusion. Forbearance. Many things happen in life and we have to forbear it. Life is impossible. Nobody has such a life where there is no occasion for forbearance. Not only that, if a person doesn't meet these challenges, that person will never grow. These are all school lessons that have been created by God for the growth of the soul. If we understand that way, even dukkha becomes a blessing of God, a gift of God. As Holy Mother is apt to say, misery is a great gift of God. So, forbearance. Truth. Truth both about the world and truth about God. What is the truth about the world? It is non-truth. It is ever-changing. Whatever is changing is not the truth. That is the truth about the world. What is the truth? Higher truth. God alone is eternal and immortal, unborn and nishkriya, nirvikara, nirguna, all these ideas. That is called true truth. Self-control. If somebody has no control, that is also God's will. Somebody has absolute control, that is also God's will. Calmness. To remain peaceful and rational under every circumstance. Pleasure and pain. Again and again we get in Bhagavad Gita. No devotee is guaranteed. Your life will become absolutely a mart of joy from moment to moment, from day to day, from year to year, from birth to death. Everyone has to go through the same creatures, including incarnations of God. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, when God incarnates, Brahma pancha bhute pode khande. Brahman weeps, fallen into the clutches of the five elements. That means, thinking is the human being, at least he appears to be weeping. Rama wept so much for Sita. So, pleasure and pain, inevitable. Sita usna sukha dukkeshu sama sanga vivarjitaha tulya ninda stutir mauni santushtaha yena kena chit aniketa stiramatir bhakti man me priyo naraha. Birth and death. We all know we are born, we are going to die. Means the body is going to die. The mind also is changing. Every better idea is the death of the past, incomplete idea. Fear and fearlessness. Bhayancha abhayamyamacha. Not only that, some people, they are so good, they cannot think of injuring others. That is called ahimsa. Some people are completely free from jealousy. Swami Vivekananda defined ahimsa. Absence of jealousy is true ahimsa. Because a person with jealousy, he will not appear to do something very harmful, but he will be wishing all the time, let the other fellow be taken away, beauty or glory or wealth, and why I do not get it? Let me have all those things. But they will be praying. Only thing is, if this jealousy works only not among enemies, but only among friends. Friends become jealous of other friends. Poor people become jealous of other poor people who become a little better. Rich people become not jealous of poor people, but jealous of other rich people. Scholars become jealous of other scholars. Powerful people become jealous of other powerful people. So this jealousy is the universal disease which eats up practically everybody, and mostly spiritual people also. If somebody understood it and only rejoices with everybody's prosperity and happiness, that feeling is called ahimsa. And if that is manifested in some being, we have to understand that it is the grace of Divine Lord. Samatha, Samadarshana, looking upon everything with the same eye, means not as worthless, but as highly worshipful, because God is manifest. Tushtihi, complete satiation, absolute santosha, satisfaction. I am poor, I am happy with that. Kshatiram is the greatest example. Completely, he was content with whatever Raghuveer had bestowed upon him, good or bad. Tapaha, somebody had the idea to put up with difficulties, sufferings cheerfully, and that is austerity, or he fasts sometimes, or undertakes something which creates some difficulty for him voluntarily. Such an idea is called tapaha. If you see somebody forbearing cheerfully and practicing these things, that is also God's grace. Dhanam, some people are very charitable, very philanthropic. So they are also manifesting God's quality. Yashaha, it is only God's grace. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that people become recognized by other people. Some people have tremendous power. Some people do not have. It is all play, mercy of the divine being. Then some people become infamous. That is also the will of the Lord. Ime, all these feelings, we get bhutanam among beings, not only among human beings. A funny example is, supposing there is a queen, Elizabeth, she has a pet dog, and she will be cleaning all that it discharges. How lucky that dog must have been to be the pet. It must have done lot of punya in its past birth. We don't know how they did it. Even among creatures, there are ups and downs, great and small, fortunate and unfortunate, etc. Prithak vidhaha bhavaha. All these different manifestations, matta eva bhavanti. They all, my manifestations, they come only from me. If they are good manifestations, that is my grace, my will. If they are not, that is also my grace, my will. We can understand the truth of these statements only when we become jivan muktas, are endowed with right knowledge. The Lord is playing. This is Bhagavat Leela. The whole world is nothing but Jagannataka Sutradhari is pulling, he is playing, he is the director, he is the script writer, he is the different actors and actresses, he is the stage on which he is acting, and he is the audience who is applauding, and sometimes he acts well, sometimes deliberately he doesn't act well, sometimes he is a virtuous person, sometimes very evil person. Everything is nothing but divine leela. We become flabbergasted. Is it all true? Shall we have to take it in that light? Yes, sir. If you want to be a spiritual aspirant, if you dare to say, I believe in God, then whatever is happening in this world cannot happen without the will of God. Belief in God means whatever happens in this world, either to us or to other people, is nothing but the will of God. That is the real truth, highest truth. So, O Arjuna, understand, Duryodhana became Duryodhana because of my will. Bhishma, Drona became them because of my will. So understand this properly. Who tried to disrobe the cloths of this Draupadi? It is only the divine Lord. But in the form of Dushasana, Duryodhana, Karna and Shakuni, who cheated all the Pandavas? It is the divine Lord. Who again made them victorious? It is the divine Lord. So we have to understand this beautifully, that everything that happens in this world is the will of God. Now one more point and we are done with it. What is the point? A person is nothing but the knowledge he has, the Shraddha he has. If you see a virtuous person, that means his mind is filled with virtues, which is the divine manifestation. So there is nothing really laudable. It is only divine Lord who is playing through that body and mind in this world, acting in that way. If you find Rama, that is the divine Lord. What about Ravanasura? That is also the divine Lord. This is how we have to understand everything in this world. What is the final understanding of this verses 4 and 5? Not only the external world, the internal world also is nothing but the manifestation of God. And if a sadhaka, spiritual aspirant, understands this, then he will become freed. What is it? I am not the doer. I do not have any egotism. It is the divine Lord who has become me, who has become others, who has become the world. And if something good or evil happens to my personality, it is a play of the divine Lord. If I did wrong, then that is also play of the divine mother or Lord. If I do good also, I have nothing to take credit for. It is the divine. When this knowledge comes, he becomes freed from all bondages, and then he becomes what we call divine freed moksha, and he becomes a jivan mukta if his body mind is still there. Otherwise, he will attain videha mukti. These most marvelous ideas we have been discussing, we will discuss in our next class also. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. May Sri Ram Krishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.